So this is kind of an unusual Sunday school hour for us. We're doing a joint time together as we prepare for our outreach event, Neighborhood Fun Night, which is coming up on Saturday. So that is right upon us. And we just want to take a little bit of time to to orient everybody to what's going on, our purpose for this, and then talk about some of the logistics as well. So I'm going to start us off here for the first 10 or 12 minutes, and then Lyndon's going to go over some of the logistics with us. Okay? Yeah, y'all just come on in and find a seat. All right. Let me open us up in a word of prayer, and then I just want to share a few thoughts with you as we get started this morning, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of gathering in your house to worship. And we thank you that as the church, as the body of Christ, you have given us a mission in this world. You've given us a mission to reach out, to make disciples, to be a light in our community. And one of the things we want to do with the Neighborhood Fun Night is just make very concentrated effort to do that in our neighborhood. And so as we talk about that this morning, we pray that you would give us vision for this event. We pray, Lord, for the work of your Holy Spirit in our community, even now, that you'd be preparing hearts for conversations that we'll have on Saturday and in coming days. We pray, Lord, that as seed is sown, that seed would take root, that it would bear fruit for your glory and for the good of the kingdom of God. We ask you, Lord, to give us wisdom as we talk about some practical things this morning. Just help us, Lord, all be on the same page. Help us know what our tasks are, what we need to do, and help us to do it all with an eye to your glory, to the good of our neighbors, our community, and for the spread of the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, thanks for being in here. I realize there was a little bit of a communication breakdown with one of our classes, and I apologize for that, but we're glad you're here. This, of course, doesn't cover near everybody, but hopefully this will be helpful for everyone who is here this morning. So Lyndon asked me to just share some thoughts with you about our purpose for the Neighborhood Fun Night, and of course our purpose is outreach. All right, this is one of the most important outreach events that we do in the course of a year. This will be our third outreach to the neighborhood, where we gather Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, with food, with games, and so on. And the main purpose is just to do something for the good of our neighborhood, for the good of our community, an attractional kind of event where people will come and where we can be involved in having some conversations with them. So that's the purpose. The purpose is outreach. The purpose is mission. It's not the only thing we can or should do, but it's an important thing, and we want to come into this with all cylinders running. All right. However, there's a little more to be said about this. And I was just thinking about the images or the metaphors for mission that we find in the New Testament and what these different metaphors teach us. And I just wanted to go over some of these with you real quickly and see if this would maybe spurn some fresh thinking on our parts about how to approach this event. So here are some of the metaphors. There's the metaphor of salt, right? You know this metaphor. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? No longer good for anything, right, but to be cast out, trampled under people's feet. That's Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus tells us that we're salt of the earth. The next verse, he says, we are light of the world, right? And the city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, and we don't hide our lamp under a bushel, but we're to let our light shine, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Or you might think of the metaphor of fishing. You remember that when Jesus called his first disciples, they were fishermen, and he said, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Okay? Or then here's another metaphor, sowing and reaping. All right? You remember that and how Paul uses that metaphor in 1 Corinthians 3? He tells us, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So that's another one of the metaphors. Okay, now just some observations about this. All right, first of all, each of these metaphors emphasize the need for initiative on our part. Right? In order for us to be salt, light, fishers of men, sowers, harvesters, we have to do something. All right? We can't just stand passively by and expect to be effective in the mission of the church. We have to do something. Salt has to be salty. It has to be flavorful. Light has to shine. All right? The city actually has to be built to be on the hill. To catch fish, you have to go. You have to go to the fish. All right? They're not going to come to you. You've got to go to the fish. You've got to go to where they are. You've got to lower your net. And then seed has to be sown. And not only sown, it has to be cultivated. It has to be watered. And then once it grows, it has to be harvested. Okay, so these metaphors all teach us that there has to be some effort on our part. And that's one reason why we do something like a neighborhood fun night. It's a way for us to put some effort into this task of outreach. All right, but each one of these metaphors also teach something unique. So salt, what does that teach us? Well, salt has an intrinsic quality to it. All right, for salt to be of any value, it has this intrinsic quality of being able to provide flavor. And that shows us that there has to be something intrinsic about our lives that make Jesus attractive. All right, that's something about our character. Light emphasizes visibility. That by its very nature, light is seen. And the same thing with a city that's set on a hill. It can't be hid. And that shows us that there's something about life in the kingdom that makes it impossible for it to be hidden. If we're really living lives as citizens of the kingdom of God, there's something about our lives that will make that will be visible to others. Fishing, that emphasizes motion and movement. You have to go to fish. Now, salt is something that you taste, right? Light is something you see. Those are what you might call come and see images. But fishing is a go-and-tell image, right? And both of those things are necessary in evangelism and outreach. There's both come-and-see invitation, but there's also go-and-tell, where we reach out. We seek people out ourselves. And then finally, let's just think for a minute about this image of sowing and reaping. All right? This emphasizes several things that I think are especially relevant to the neighborhood fun night. All right? Let me give you three. Here's the first. First of all, sowing and reaping shows us that evangelism and conversion is a process. It's a process. All right? How many of you have ever been farmers? Anybody in this room ever been a farmer? I see one hand. I grew up, my dad was a farmer. Before he was a pastor, he was a farmer. And farming is very seasonal, and it involves a process. It involves a lot of work. All right, so there's getting the ground ready. There's actually sowing the seed. There's watering the seed. There's getting the weeds out, right? There's taking care of insects. I mean, I remember as a kid where we were always concerned about insects, like these little, boll weevils that would eat the cotton and stuff. And so we were doing things to prevent the insects destroying our crop. There's a lot of things that go into harvesting a crop. Before you ever get to harvest, before the combine ever gets out in the field, right, before the cotton stripper ever gets out in the field, there's a lot of things that go into harvesting. It's a process. And folks, evangelism is very much a process. It's not usually a single event. That may happen occasionally, where in a single conversation, somebody hears the gospel, believes the gospel, comes to Christ all at once. It doesn't happen very often. The reality is that most people who come from unbelief all the way to committed faith to Christ will do so only after multiple exposures to the gospel, repeated conversations with lots of Christians. And so one of the things that we need to realize is that as we do these neighborhood fun nights year after year after year, these are just steps in a process of outreach in the neighborhood. And one thing to keep in mind is that when you have some conversations with people Saturday night, it's probably not either the first or the last conversation that they will have had with someone who's a Christian. And it may not even be the first conversation they've had with one of us. All right, some of these people will be back here for the third time this year. And so we want to be building into this process. Now, that means that we should be patient on one hand and understand it is a process, and so we don't expect immediate results. But on the other hand, we recognize that we still need to be intentional. Okay, here's the second thing. Sowing and reaping emphasizes process. Then secondly, it reminds us that there are different kinds of gifts that are used in the process. All right, there are planting gifts. Now, what do you think? I want to interact a little bit here. What do you think would be some planting gifts? Paul says that he planted, right? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. So what are some of the planting gifts? What do you think those would be? Okay. Being involved in serving, giving your testimony. Okay. What else? Okay. Open invitations to people. Okay. All right. Showing an interest, invitation, sharing your testimony. What else? Okay, listening to people. All right, and here's an important one, is just sharing the gospel. Right, that's the seed, right? So just sharing the gospel. That's simple. It's simple. And it doesn't have to be overbearing and in your face. It's just sharing the good news. You know, listen, what we believe here is Jesus did not come to save good people. He came to save sinful people, broken people, and he did that through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what we're about at this church. We don't think we're better than everybody else. We think we're sinners in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins by his death on the cross. I just shared the gospel with you. You can do that in a conversation with somebody. You know, you could talk to someone for 30, 45 minutes while you're eating hamburgers and hot dogs and the kids are playing, and before they get up and leave, or before you get up and leave, you can say that. You can say, let me just tell you why we do what we're doing here. It doesn't have to be high-pressure sales tactics, anything, but it's just sharing the gospel. That's planting a seed. All right, that's planting. Now, there's also watering gifts. What do you think some of the watering gifts would be? This is after the seed is planted, but it's got to be watered. What are watering gifts? Yeah, I think that's the main one. All right, praying. Okay, ongoing interaction with people. Okay, anything else? I think prayer especially, and whether you feel like you can effectively share the gospel with somebody or not, you can pray. And so I encourage us to be praying. We actually have a prayer meeting tomorrow night about this event. I encourage you to be present for that. Pray for people, pray for the effectiveness of this ministry. You might also have a reaping gift. A reaping gift would be where you're actually leading someone to faith in Christ. You lead them in maybe a sinner's prayer. You ask them, are you ready to commit your life to Christ? That's a reaping gift. And maybe you have that one as well. But all of these are part of the process, and all these different gifts are used. So here's the takeaway. No matter what your particular gift is regarding evangelism, you have a gift. And you can use that gift either through serving or through sharing the gospel or through prayer or through a more intentional conversation where you're asking someone if they're ready to come to Christ. And then here's the final thing. Sowing and reaping also emphasizes our dependence on God. All right? Sowing and reaping, Paul says, you know, this guy plants, this guy waters, but who gives the growth? God gives the growth. All right? So we're dependent on him. It's like a farmer's dependent. He could do all the right things, but God is the one who's got to cause the seed to grow. He'll use natural law, of course, to do that, but God is the one who gives the good harvest. And so we're dependent on God. So we're doing this outreach event because we want to sow seed, because we want to reap, because we want to water seeds that have been planted in the past. But we don't want to do this in any kind of sense of self-dependence, right? There's no patting ourselves on the back. We're doing something like this is very small what we're doing. It is worth every bit of effort that we put into it and far, far more. But at the end of the day, God is the one that has to bless this. All right, so we want to keep our eyes fixed on him. Okay, so that's kind of my pitch. Lennon's going to share some details